Welcome to the Mother of All Movement podcast with me, Catherine Meadows. I'm a women's health trainer specialising in postnatal recovery and a mum to two kids myself. My aim is to inspire and educate through chats with women who are either working through their own movement journey or work to help women get stronger and recover both physically and mentally after having kids. I want to talk about what they do, how they integrate it into their family lives, and essentially, why. Because I believe when we share our stories and our values, we lift each other up, enabling every mother to fulfill her body's potential, gain confidence in her power, and give her family the best version of her to share their lives with. So join me each week to hear these wonderful women talk about their journey. Welcome to the Mother of All Movement podcast, everyone. I am your host, Catherine Meadows, and with me today is the gorgeous Yebin Mok, professional figure skater, originally born in South Korea, who emigrated to the US when she was seven. Yebin has won countless medals and awards as a junior and adult skater before becoming a professional skater for Holiday on Ice, and we now know her in the UK as a professional on Dancing on Ice. Yebin and her husband have just welcomed four-month-old Lilia to their family alongside son Theo, who's now five. She's also a skate coach, as well as a ballet and yoga for skaters teacher too. So Yebin, welcome. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me today. I know you've got beautiful little Lilia with you. I hope she's doing okay.
Yeah, she's good. She's taking her nap, so it's perfect time.
Yes, well timed you. Well done. Yeah. So as I mentioned in the intro, you arrived in the US when you were seven. You started figure skating there. So is that right? How did you get into it?
Yeah, so I went on a skating birthday party. So that's how it all started. And when I with my friends, and they were quite cautious, and I just like took to the ice. I just went really fast. I just loved the gliding. I was just one of those kids that just did it right away. And one of the coaches said, oh, why don't you take some skating classes and just progress from there, and then private lessons. And then they were like, oh, you're really talented, so maybe you should skate a little bit more. So I did it every day, because at the time I had a little time frame in America where we were supposed to go back to Korea. So it was for you know, my dad's business. So we were only supposed to stay in America for 3 years. And I started skating in our second year. So I only had 1 year in America. So they were like, well, this is where you're going to get the most education out of it. So let's just deep dive into it. So I skated when I started 5 days a week. And I just did it, and I loved it. And it was during summertime as well. So I wasn't at school, and our breaks are 3 months long. So I skated every day for 8 hours, and just, I guess I didn't know I was skating for 8 hours, but supposedly I skated a long time. Like from amazing. Basically 9 to 5, where they just kept the public ice open. And at the time I was little and I loved it. So I didn't know how the time went, you know, but that's what I hear.
And what was it about skating that hooked you in comparison to like gymnastics or ballet or something like that? Was it gliding? Was it the freedom?
Yeah, speed, glide. It literally felt like flying. Yeah, and I think gliding, I think, resembles the speed that you can't get anything from running.
Yeah.
When there's just so much freedom to movement and speed that I loved, and then also adding music to it. I was like, oh, I love it so much, expressing myself through music. And it was different from ballet, because ballet is quite static and you have to be quite calm. And I think at the time I wasn't that calm. I want to go do stuff. So it was perfect fit.
And were your parents supportive? I mean, that's a heavy commitment, isn't it? Like 5 days a week getting you to the ice rink.
Yeah, I think it helped that my mom was a high school art teacher in Korea. So when she moved to America, like she wasn't teaching at the time, and she was full-time mom. So she had the time to take me to the rink, thankfully, gratefully. They also never skated or didn't know anything about the sport. So they just dive, you know, right into it as well. So yeah, they're very supportive.
It's great. Yeah.
And that's awesome. So you then, obviously this obsession then turned into, combined with your talent, and you became quite successful. And so you obviously managed to stay in the US.
Yes. Yeah.
And
so
continued competing.
Yeah. So literally 3 months into private lessons, I started my competition days at 10 years old, and I just kept winning everything. And it was just one of those things like, wow, she's just on fire. What are we going to do? We can't go back to Korea. So my dad like quit his job.
Wow.
I know, it's just insane. I can't believe they did that. You know, as a parent myself, I'm like, for Theo, I don't think I could do that. You know, the things that they did, and it was like, you guys are crazy. But basically quit their job because their contract was up. He started his own business to make it for us to stay in America. Yeah, so I don't know how they did it, but they managed, and they managed my tuition, skating tuitions, and it was very, very, very expensive, still very expensive sport. So I don't know how they did it, but they did it.
Wow, that's awesome. And how did you find being an elite athlete alongside school and college and things? So you were 10 when you started, so you were going into high school and the start of exams and things like that. Did you feel any pressure to perform in both sport and studies?
Yes. So I really, really loved school and enjoyed school. And then there was a point in America, it's like ninth grade. So I guess high school, I'm not sure how it levels out here. Yeah. Ninth grade, I was about 15, 14 when things get serious about education before you go to university. So at that point, I was really heavy into school as well, and I wanted to go into all the advanced placement classes. And I went 1 week of school, and I had researches ready due that I just couldn't get to with my training. So I was like, I want to do all of these hard classes or nothing else. I didn't want to do normal classes, you know? And I was like, I need to excel in everything, which is so... Looking back, I was so silly to put that so much pressure on myself. And in hindsight, I wish I stayed in school, but I ended up doing homeschooling. So from 14 to 18, I did homeschool.
Wow.
And I took a break from education from 18 to 24. And then from 24, I did university after that.
Okay. And so was the break whilst you were competing more heavily?
Yeah, competing and also tour. So I was on professional tours at the time.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. And what does that involve? Like going from country to country, performing?
Yeah, it would be like a tour, like a rock star, I want to say. not that cool. Not that fully resourced. But basically, we travel to each city week to week on a tour bus, and we stay at hotels 1 week and then go to the next city, perform, next city, perform. Okay. So doing that in your 20s, it's quite fun.
So much fun. Yeah.
So much fun. family of 60 people in a hotel.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's great.
A massive party. Hard to kind of keep focused on the skating, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Everyone who feels the same passion as you do, all in the same room, is just electrifying. It's amazing.
Oh, what a great thing to be involved in at that age as well. But then you came back and went back to
college. Yes. So in that moment, I was sort of, okay, I've been doing tour for a while. What do I do with my life? And I felt really lost in a way. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, I really, if I went into the real world, I don't know what I can give. There's nothing to show forth in a way. So I enrolled in university online so that I could get my business degree while I was doing tours as well. So I did that at the same time.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. And how did you find that? My gosh, you just made that 10 times harder.
Yeah. I think because I did tour regular without any school for about 2 years. So I was like, oh, you know, it's kind of getting old, you know.
Right, okay. The party's got to end at some point.
Exactly. And so just making that transition. So I was quite happy to leave the party for studies because that's what I wanted to do.
Okay. And at any point in that time, did you get injured? Because that's it's mm-hmm.
It's a pretty big, you know, high impacts, really strong, a lot of flexibility required.
So at the height of my competitive career, I had loads of injuries. Like, it's, you know, competitive skating is a whole nother level of impact. So I had stress fracture in my back. I had ankle surgery because of a bursitis. So it was very off and on sort of training during my amateur days. And then once I got into professional skating, your impact is quite high, but it's not as high as competitive skating. So I was able to endure it for about 3 good years. And then I could feel my body really aching. And so I needed to take a break from it and then just let my body rest. But to help, you know, making sure I warm up properly, cool down properly. I think I was on Voltren cream on daily basis before every show, bit of painkillers, all of that just to cope through. And I think, you know, after a while you're like, oh, this is not very good if I have to do this every day. So I needed to stop.
Yeah. Okay. And I mean, it's aesthetic sport, so figure based and weight sensitive, we might call it. How have you dealt with that at various times through your career? Because it's a pressurized environment for a young kid to be in.
You know, back in the day when I was competing, and I think the subject is a lot more sensitive now, bringing it to the sport where it's more talked about nutrition, like how are you, you know, giving your
fueling
body
yourself,
fueling yourself, how are you recovering your body? There's intelligent chats about it, but then it was very much, you look a little different, you look heavier, your shape doesn't look, it was very aesthetically. And at the time, my coaches, that's just how they said it. And that's okay, you know, because that's just how it, that's the culture. It was just that. So, you know, being so highly competitive, perfectionist, disciplined, dedicated, like all of those qualities, once I took that in, I just took it to another level where, you know, was like really restricting my eatings. And I think at the time I was like, yeah, I'm being really good, you know, I really valued in the fact that I could discipline myself like that. But then there's just a tipping scale of cuckoo-ness. You're going crazy and with, you know, you're doing a good job. It's such a fine line.
Yeah.
And at the moment, at that time, it tipped over the wrong way. And, you know, I had eating disorder and it really mentally messed me up and I couldn't really see clearly. And And one of the reasons why I had to quit the sport is because I wasn't there as a person. So I couldn't possibly pull out anything out of my body to do the technical things that needed to happen.
Right. As in creatively and like the way, the clarity that you had to think, because it's fast and speed.
Yeah. And it was just insane because, you know, I valued myself in what I ate or how I performed that day. I valued myself through landing of a jump. If I'm not able to land a jump, I would really, you know, push, like, you know, blamed myself really hard. I was worthless, basically. Worthless if I could not eat correctly that day. Worthless if I couldn't land anything. Things like that, which is mind-blowing that I could think that. But you're so in it that that just becomes your life. And yeah, the only thing that really helped it was for me to step away.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, I quit. I had to leave because mentally I wasn't there, like, clearly. So I left the sport. I really needed to find who I was without skating. It was the first time in 10 years, I want to say, because my life has always been about skating. So I went to university, like college in person, and also worked at a restaurant and just trying to get to know who I was without skating.
And how did that go for you?
It was really refreshing, really amazing to find what I like. It's so simple, isn't it? It's like, what do I like? What does yummy like?
But you're right. If you're told all the time that you need to be here and do this, and this is what looks good, and this is what other people are going to enjoy seeing, and you need to do things that look in this certain way, you don't have your own input in stuff. And I think that's something that comes up quite a lot with people who have been professionals when they were juniors. That whole character forming stage of life is kind of missed a little bit. I think it's a really important step. So that must have been so valuable to you to take that time for yourself.
Yeah, and you're absolutely so correct, because you know in your teens and your training and all of that, and all of your energy around you is into this one passion. You really don't get to know who you are. And I think that's why a lot of people, once they leave the sport, retired in their 20s, they get really lost. And, you know, and it's a huge transition from sport person to, okay, transitioning to real life in a way.
Yeah.
There is a lot of depression along with that, and a lot of, you know, soul searching. And I think it takes a while for people to find that, but I am fortunate. You know, this terrible thing made me quit the sport for a bit, and then I needed to find myself, and I did. I started painting, and I started talking to normal people, which is horrible thing to say, but everyone around me was skaters, skating coaches, to actually just meet someone at a restaurant and just have a chat. It was just incredible. And then,
And how did you find moving on from competitive to professional skating, like with Holiday on Ice? Was that your return? Was that after this little phase? So what made you want to go back to skating after your time off and not just go, that's it, I'm done skating forever?
I was about 1920 when I quit skating, and then I had about a year and a half off of soul searching in a way. And then I really was like, oh, I really love skating. I really miss it. This is why I started skating. And I think that's what you forget sometimes once you're in that hamster wheel of training, 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 you forget why you started in the first place. And so I was like fired up again. And I was like, oh, this, I want to do it for the right reason. So I did. And I competed for one season to try for like a bit of a comeback. And I have to say, like, in that year, it was probably one of my joyous training season, but it was very difficult because at that time I was very aware of my financials from my parents, and I couldn't let my parents put that money on me in a way. It was just, I just couldn't do that to them because I just felt so horrible about it. But, you know, so I did a bit of working on my own at a restaurant, at the rink, and trying to train. So I did all of those things at the same time, which for an elite athlete, it's not a super thing to do, you know, trying to do all those things. But, you know, I gave it my all. Results wise, I didn't make it to the American Nationals, but I think in the qualifying rounds, I was able to perform the way I wanted to do. And so it was a win-win for me. Like, I was quite happy with that. And then it was a deciding factor of, do I keep competing, drain out my financial resources, or do I go on tour? And let's go on tour. Let's make some money.
Yeah.
Hi, Movement fans. Sorry to interrupt your listening today. I hope you're enjoying the episode. If you are, I would love it if you could leave a review if you're listening on Apple Podcasts right now. If you're on your mobile on the app, click on the icon with this podcast image, scroll right to the bottom where you see the ratings and reviews section, and tap the number of stars you want to give. My suggestion would be 5. And then click the write a review link at the bottom. It literally takes 1 minute and makes a huge difference in how iTunes shows this podcast to others who are searching amongst all the thousands of brilliant shows that there are out there. Thank you so much for choosing this podcast and taking the time to review. It really does mean the world to me, and I am hugely grateful. Okay, let's get on with the show.
Yeah. So is it for most skaters to get to that point, unless they stop, is it a sort of natural step to go on tour and become a professional on shows and things?
Yeah. Not everyone chooses to go on tour, just because I think, you know, the best easy transition of earning is probably coaching. And once they start coaching and skating, you already have a bit of clients and stuff. So they're like, oh, I don't want to lose out on that. So they don't go. Mm-hmm. But for me, my coach always advocated, like, you should go out on tour. You should go see the world. You work so hard in your craft. Like, you should really enjoy it and share it with others, that sort of thing. So I did that. And I'm so glad that he, you know, gave me that advice, because it was one of the best experiences of my life. And I learned so much about performance, about consistency in my training. And I think I teach differently because of the experience that I had.
Oh, interesting.
I have a wider view of figure skating. I think once, if I stayed in competitive figure skating to competitive coaching, I only have this narrow vision, whereas I know skating can be lots of things.
Yeah.
And if I didn't go on tour, I probably wouldn't know that. So yeah, really grateful.
Yeah, absolutely. It sounds like you've learned so much already from the experiences that you've even talked about. And you also met your husband on tour, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. So my husband was on tour. He had been on tour before me for, I think, 4 years. So he was on his last year and I was in my first year. And we met on Holiday on Ice. And at the time we had different partners. So we were just amongst the friends. And then just shoot down 4 years later, we were in different places in our lives, and he was in med school and I was still touring. He came out to visit his friend while I was on the same tour. And yeah, we just clicked.
just clicked on tour.
Well,
but
thanks to tequila.
The old, but you were in America, in LA.
Yes. Yeah.
And he is English.
Yes.
And from Manchester.
Yeah.
So you made the curious decision to move from LA to Manchester to be with him. I'm sure out of love, which just shows how much you love him. but you started a family when you were here, right?
Yeah. So my Tom always says, how I got you to move to England, I have no idea.
It is, I know, quite amazing.
And I say, I know, because I love you so much. I love your family very much. And yeah, so I think for us, deciding factor was that the work-life balance here is so much better than it is in Los Angeles and LA, you know, just work. He'd make lots of money as a doctor over there. I'd make lots of money as a coach in US, because our hourly rates are much higher there as a coach, but I would probably never see him. You know, it's just one of those things. I was like, no, I think I would like Sunday roast with you, and we'd have Sundays together. We would have family time. And, you know, I'm very, very close with my family in Los Angeles, but one of the easiest transition for me was having such amazing family support from his family here. And I love them so much. They've adopted me as their daughter. So that was quite easy transition because of them, which is great.
And becoming a mum while you're doing such a strong, very flexible and challenging discipline must have been, I mean, I kind of want to say nerve-wracking. Like, how did you approach that physically in your training? Were you preparing for being pregnant whilst you were also training, or did it sort of happen by chance and then you had to deal with it afterwards?
So when I was pregnant with Theo, I was coaching previously in LA for about like 2 years. So, and then I made the transition here, and I was quite burnt out after that. So I took a break while I moved to UK just because I was waiting on my marriage visa and work visa and things like that. So I wasn't able to work, which was great. Took that time off. And then once we got married and I got pregnant, my visa still hasn't come through. So I wasn't working. So I was really, well, this is really, you know, a bit of a sloth, really. I was just pregnant, just joyous pregnancy. I wasn't doing a lot of workouts. I was just quite lazy at the time.
That's so interesting. I mean, are we talking about lazy for you or lazy for like the normal general population?
I really wasn't working out. I wasn't working out at all, really. I had a gym membership. Not sure how much it got used. And so with my first baby, I was really very, I want to say normal lifestyle. And then my body just after birth just didn't feel right till maybe he was about 2.5 years old. Mm-hmm. I still felt like my body was still pregnant. Like my ligaments and everything just felt so loose. I guess I think one of the big things that helped me to get back into super shape was during lockdown, because I actually had the time, because I couldn't go coach to the rink. I did all of my classes through Zoom. So I was doing a lot of demoing. So for 5 months during that first lockdown, I was offering free classes to all of the skaters in UK so they can get in shape, not in shape, but more like a routine.
Yeah, keep it. Yeah.
Bit of normality. I'll see you at 8 in the morning. Wake up, make sure you wake up. So it was really nice because we had over like 100 students on Zoom, and it was so really nice to see. And it was a bit of a community every morning. And so that was really, really good. And that sort of helped me to get really strong, you know, physically. And then I kept that going since then. So that's been good. And with my second baby, I was, you know, really staying fit with her during the pregnancy. And then I find that at the moment it's coming back quicker than it was with Theo.
Okay.
But I still feel my ligaments quite loose. Like I tried to do something and my pubic bone ligament was like, oh my God.
So how are you managing to return? Because you're back skating now a bit.
So when Lilia was 8 weeks old, they called and said, oh, you want to come in on Dazzling on Ice and do a pro number? And I was like, sure, I'll give it a go. And I tried to prep my body for it, everything. And the rehearsals was challenging, more challenging than I thought it was going to be. And then afterwards, it just felt like I got hit by a truck.
Wow, really?
Because my body just wasn't used to all of that velocity of, you know, movement and everything. And I just needed like a good couple of weeks to recover.
And that was after the actual performance. So were you happy with the performance when you looked back at it?
You know, I think perfectionist in me is like, yeah, ooh, rough looking, but I'm sure if I look at it when I'm 60 years old, I'll be like, wow, I was really good.
Wow, I did that when I was, 10 weeks postnatal?
Yeah.
Wow, that's an amazing thing.
Yeah.
I mean, bodies are extraordinary, aren't they?
Yes.
To what your body has been able to do, what it can do even just with the figure skating, let alone actually like giving birth twice. And you've had two C-sections.
Yes.
Right? So that's a lot to recover from.
Yeah. I don't know. It just, the C-section feels like, you know, because they just, you know, it's like, it's a major abdominal surgery, but I don't know why it just feels like, oh, just a C-section in a way. I don't know. People. So with my recovery on that, I think with the second baby, I was like, I know I'm much stronger. I feel stronger. So I'm going to overdo it. But actually, I think I did something to it in the early days when I was kind of picking her up and, you know, breastfeeding in the evening. I think I just did too much. So it was feeling odd, a bit different. So Tom was like, don't pick her up, wake me up, I'll pick her up, and then all of that. So it went away in about a week or so, but there was a moment that was like, did I undo my stitches?
That's a horrifying thought, right?
Yeah,
that you take any steps back, Was it, did it feel like it was important for you to keep on making progress and getting back to doing ballet training at home, presumably? Did that help? That sort of feeling of there being static, like you talked about ballet at the beginning, it's sort of a little bit more static, but lots and lots of leg strength, lots of core strength, lots of balance and things, which helps the core muscles to sort of work a little bit stronger, and those, the glutes and your shoulders and things like that. Did all of that really help to encourage everything back?
Definitely. And, you know, I think it doesn't, obviously with anyone, it's just doesn't matter what you, which exercise you do, do the one that you enjoy the most. And for me, ballet is one of the most enjoyable exercise movement, and I really connect with it because music, I love music, and I think it gives me the very fundamentals of really feeling my body within and feeling my toes and feet and ankles, knees, and just finding that nice posture feels nice. And it's helped me to, and then it's really close in line with skating. So if I feel like I have it quite down with ballet, I feel like I can do skating as well, you know?
Yeah.
So it was a good transition. Yeah.
And how do you now then prepare for the big jumps and the big lifts and things like that? How does that, I mean, obviously you know already what your steps are towards that, but is it any different postnatally?
Postnatally, I think I just have to take things a little bit slower. I can't do everything that I did before at full throttle. So I just have to take baby steps. So strength training, Pilates, but everything very basic level, just to build up, because my body can't handle the very top level of those exercises in a way.
Yeah.
I feel weak, you know, I don't feel as strong as I did before baby, but it's coming along.
But and still, I mean, you're only 4 months postnatal, that's right. Yeah. Nearly five. So yeah, so it's a short while only.
And
how do you want now to keep on progressing with your figure skating and things? I know you're also a skate coach, like we've talked about. So is that something that you, where you want your sort of future direction to keep on moving towards, or are you still really excited by skating yourself?
Oh, I love skating. I love skating myself. Oh, there's nothing like it. I love coaching, but I love skating. And I think performance-wise, there's no way I'll do a touring, a sort of consistent performance, because physically, my body just won't hold up that long. But then I think occasional galas and exhibitions and things like that, I'd keep up. So in that sense, I want to keep my body up to date to be able to perform. Dancing on ice also is something that I would like to still be involved in. But also I have to think about, you know, there's so many factors that go into it with my kids and kids' schedules and my students' schedules, like all of that. So, you know, it's bit impossible in my head at the moment.
So presumably with dancing on ice, once you have your partner, you're then committed for dancing, seven days a week, right?
Yeah.
And for really long days, because you're having to coach somebody who's probably never skated before into.
Exactly. So it's a huge commitment away from my family. So it makes me just go.
Is that something you're just parking just exactly. until next season? You're like, just think about it next year I need to.
exactly. But yeah, I you know, I think I just want to feel strong and fit, just to feel, have confidence when I do actually demo something from my students, to have actual good example, that sort of thing. Yeah.
And what about your kids? Are they, well, obviously not Lily yet, but does he have little skates? And would you and Tom encourage him to skate if he wanted to?
Yeah, I think we have his very tiny skates. He started skating at 2 years old, and then he really was quite good for a two-year-old. He wasn't scared or anything. And then lockdown happened, so we didn't get to skate for about a year and a half, almost 2 years. And then we just recently went back and he loved it, which was great. He is not afraid anymore. He enjoys the glide. And that's all I could really ask for from him. And I love taking him. And, you know, as long as he wants to learn something, of course, I'll teach him. It's just, all his drive, really, and whatever they want.
yeah, exactly. No pressure then.
No pressure, yeah.
And yeah. So do you, as a coach, I presume, bring in all of the things that we talked about. So we've talked about, you know, your experience of having some of the mental pressures of the way that you look, or making sure that you, or feeling like you needed to make sure you looked in a certain way. And so that created an eating disorder. But then also you talked about your sort of wider vision of understanding what skating was and could be in lots and lots of different ways. Is that something that's really important to you now as a coach?
Yeah. And I think, you know, because of that, maybe it's also just a bit of my personality now. It's just, I really see them as a whole person, and I just want them to skate for themselves, because I've been through the ringer of it all with the politics and the competitive skating. And at the end of the day, only thing that matters is your progress and the love of your sport, and the process is all that matters. And that's what I want to pass to my kids, you know, my students, is like, it really, really, really doesn't matter the trinkets at the end, you know, like the gold medal, you know, great if you get it, but it doesn't define you, or it doesn't define any of that. So, and I think because I did the tour and professional skating, I think I'm able to see that as well in a bigger way. And yeah, I just want them to remember why they started skating, why they're on this journey. And if they can love it coming out of it when they're like 50 years old, I feel like I did my job as a coach.
Yeah, that's a lovely thing. Yeah, rather than being the short term and about the glory, it's about the sort of looking back on it and feeling fulfilled by the life that you've had. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it was great. It was a really lovely chat. And thank you so much for sharing all about your life. It sounds, you know, so interesting, so many different aspects. And it sounds like you've got so much to share with all of your students, which is really wonderful.
Thank you. Thank you. No problem.